Good morning and welcome. Now, if you're too warm, please take your coat off. Don't sit and sweat. If you're visiting, I hope you enjoy your time with us, and please join us for tea and coffee through in the hall when there's a, and I'm not going to say a light lunch for sale, because it's Bob that's on this morning, so you should see that kitchen through there. It's like a hotel restaurant. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. And this week, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community, and especially those in Secorn Avenue. The coffee morning at St Ninian's is finished now until February 2020. Carols and candles this afternoon at the community garden at 4:30 p.m. when the Christmas lights will also be switched on. There's also an opportunity to place a message in the St Andrew's Hospice tree. The night church tonight at 7:30 here in the church. Come for a quiet time of peace and reflection, which we don't get much of from now on. Girls Brigade Christmas Fair, Tuesday the 3rd of December, 6:30 in the church hall. On Wednesday the 4th of December, the pastoral care team and anyone else who would like to come along and join us for a short Christmas service and sing carols at Candor Even at 2 p.m. and McLean Gardens at 3 p.m. And then on Tuesday the 10th of December, we're going to Avonhoe at 2 p.m. and Lintock Gardens at 3 p.m. So if you would like to come and join us, you'll be very welcome. Wednesday the 4th of December, Stonehouse Primary School have their Christmas fair, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and the entry's £2. John Young presents Memories of Stonehouse, and Thursday the 5th of December, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m, again here in the church hall. On Saturday the 7th of December, we have Santa's Grotto in the church hall, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Now, there's tickets for sale, and I have them here, so if you would like a ticket, it's £5 for the adult, and the children are free. But if you're coming yourself just for a cup of coffee and a cake, we'll discuss the cost. Well, we're having a wee talk about that in there. But you're very welcome to come along and just have a coffee and some home baking and just enjoy seeing the kids having fun. On Saturday the 7th of December, the Avondale Music School Christmas Concert is in St Ninian's Church, 3:30, and again at 6:30. The tickets are £3 and Stuart has tickets. 10% of the ticket money will be donated to the church. On Sunday the 8th of December, we have a usual service at 11 a.m. and then at 3 p.m, a light in the dark service for those who find Christmas a difficult time. Come and remember and reflect here in this beautiful place. On Sunday the 8th of December at 7 p.m, we have a concert by Anka and Quentin here in the church. The suggested cost of the tickets are £10, but if you feel that that's too much, then you can give a donation. We're going to be busy next Sunday. I think I'll just bring my bed down. Monday the 9th of December, the Guild Christmas Dinner is in the church hall at 7:30. If you haven't already paid, if you can see Joyce today, if possible. On Wednesday the 11th of December at 1 p.m, and again at 7 p.m, if required, we'll be decorating the church. You'll notice that we'll have the tree up just now because this is the start of Advent. And next week, the Christmas tree will be up at this side as well. On Wednesday, the 11th of December... Oh, that's, I've already read that. Hope Cafe is on the 12th of December, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the church hall. The Christian Aid Carol Concert is on Sunday, the 15th of December, 6:30, here in the church. The Family Film Night is here in the church on Thursday, the 19th of December. Then on Sunday the 22nd, we have the Nativity Service at 11 a.m, then Santa's Bedtime Stories at 6:30 p.m. Revival FM presents Christmas Celebration 2019, their finale, Comfort and Joy, in the City Halls in Glasgow on Friday the 20th and Saturday the 21st of December. The details are on the notice board. On Tuesday the 24th of December, we have our family service at 7:30, when Colburn Silver Band will entertain. Then at 11:15, the Watch Night service. And then we will heave a sigh of relief and celebrate the birth of baby Jesus on the 25th of December with our family and friends. And I'll take this opportunity to wish you all a happy and peaceful Christmas. The upper room daily reading books are available in the vestibule at £2 each. And sadly, Paul Grant's dad passed away last week, and his funeral service will be on tomorrow, Monday the 2nd of December, at Dundee Crematorium at 1 p.m. There are Hugh Smiths going, and he has a couple of seats available in his car, and I think I might possibly have one. So if anybody would like to go along to that, it's Dundee at 1 p.m. We also have some happy occasions this week. We have two big birthdays. Alec Logan, I really don't think you're 90, Alec. Alec will be 90 on Tuesday, and Joan Gemmell will be 80 this week. So can we sing happy birthday?
So we sing our final hymn. We need to stop doing all this stuff. Either that or you lot need to pay attention before the service to the PowerPoint. We can stop reading it all out. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's brilliant to see you all on a cold day. Oh, the nearness of it all. The cusp, the brink, the fringe, the threshold, the unfolding, the rumours. The prophets have spoken, and the time is now. Transformation or peace, shadows or light, individualism or community, incarnation is slipping into skin. So let's gather on this, the mountain of the Lord, with all who travel towards the light. We join and sing our hymn. It's number 82. It's a psalm, Pray That Jerusalem. Join together in prayer. Let's pray. God of hopeful waiting, Spirit of justice and truth, Jesus, light of the world, as we close our eyes in prayer, shutting out the distractions all around us, we ask for a visible word, a moving image that will speak to us of renewal and the possibility of change. In our mind's eye, we see a gleaming structure on a hilltop. And we join the crowds eager on pilgrimage, surging towards it, serious, single-minded, all looking as we are for something more, something that's missing in the world below. Lost and confused, we come seeking your wisdom and guidance. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. Ashamed of some of the parts of our lives we live, knowing that something has gone badly wrong with our world and that we are part of that problem, we come to submit ourselves to your judgment. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. Aware of all the conflicts within us that mirror the divisions in our families, our churches, and our nations, saddened by the wars which beset our world, we seek your way of peace. Teach us your way, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. We bring the sword of our certainty, the shield of our defensiveness, the spear of our aggression, all weapons of war to be surrendered, to be transformed into instruments of peace. Where the ground has been torn apart by explosives, may seeds of new life be sown and plants of kindness grow. Where children have been taught by adults how to fear, may they learn new lessons of love. Teach us your ways, O God. Show us how to walk in your paths. We've been stumbling around too long in the darkness. Light our way with the lamp of your truth. Warm us with the fire of your love as we set off gladly into Advent to walk in the light of our Lord. Hear us as we join together in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we read from Isaiah and from Matthew. Let's listen for the word of the Lord.
Today's first reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Everlasting peace. This is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amoz, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, Let us go up the hill of the Lord to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us. Second readings from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. No one knows the day and the hour. No one knows, however, when that day and hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, the Father alone knows. The coming of the Son of Man will be like what happened in the time of Noah. In the days before the flood, people ate and drank, men and women married, up to the very day Noah went into the boat. Yet they did not realize what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes. At that time, two men will be working in a field. One will be taken away, the other will be left behind. Two women will be at a mill grinding meal. One will be taken away, the other will be left behind. Be on your guard then, because you do not know what day the Lord will come. If the owner of a house knew the time when a thief would come, you can be sure that he would stay awake and not let the thief break into his house. So then, you also must always be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him.
Thanks, Dixon. So we begin Advent, and as always, we have lots of candles. Our Advent journey begins with the rules of the road. We're on our way to where God would have us be, but we're not there yet. So the question is, how should we go? We'll gather together as one body, living and trusting in one another. We'll go as a community of faith, walking side by side, leaning into the grace of God every step of the way. We shall go in peace. Isaiah says, in the days to come that nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord, and there they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they will learn war no more. God will teach us peace. And so we light the first candle to burn as a sign of peace among all people. Max. Are you allowed to play with fire?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Do you know how it works? You like that one? Manager. Thank you very much. Come. Let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that God may teach us how to live in peace. Come. Come, Emmanuel. Does anybody notice anything different this morning, apart from the Advent? Fraser? Christmas trees up, yep. Anything else? Ali? I look older. It's probably true. It's probably true. Who else? Mira? Mara, sorry. There's a sign. There is a sign. Joy to the World's back up. Isn't it? What a job we had finding that. It was in the loft. It wasn't in the four other places that we thought it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they're up. But what's different, Morgan? The doves. Well done, well spotted. We've got. Do you know what these are called? These things. We're done, Fraser. What did you notice? Towels hanging down, yeah. Do you know what they're called? Does anybody know what they're called? Fraser. Falling, well, kind of. They're called pulpit falls. It's because they fall down. So you were, yeah, very good. Good guess. We've got some new ones. These are new. And they've been gifted by Anne and Douglas. And Anne was telling me that they came to the village in 1987, so they're totally incomers. Because they've only been here, how long is that? 32 years. So, you've got decades to go before you're from Stonehouse. But they came from St. John's in Hamilton. And one of the reasons that Anne and Douglas wanted to give these were that they have always felt incredibly welcome here. And so they wanted to give something back. And we don't have purple ones. The purple ones are for Advent and for Lent. So they go up in Advent and Lent. So they help us to know what time of year it is. That's one of their jobs. That, and they look nice and they tell us something. So there's a dove on them. And that's from today's story, isn't it? Does anybody notice what today's story was about? Yeah. Noah's Ark. So what happens at the end of Noah's Ark? Morgan? The dove brings back of it. So we couldn't have planned that any better, could we? The dove brings back to tell that the water's gone away. So there's a big link with today. Isn't that amazing? So what we're going to do is we're going to dedicate these because they're very special. And they're for use here in the church to help us to learn and worship God. So can we join together in prayer? Almighty God, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. And with you everything is good and true and beautiful. So may your hand rest on us and all that we do, and may we show honour to your name. All things have their beginning in your creative power. All things are made perfect in your love. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, we look with new hope to heaven, a new earth, when all creation will be free to praise its Maker. Lord of heaven and earth, every good and perfect gift comes from you. So we ask that you send your Holy Spirit now, that our gifts may truly witness to your faith and hope and love. In the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate these falls to the glory of God and declare them to be set apart for use in this place. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Has anybody ever put anything off? Fraser, what? No, that's letting something off. So a firework, that would be letting. I mean putting something off, so like waiting to the last minute, or even beyond the last minute. Who's done that? We've all done it. Right, so when you do that, what kind of excuses do you come up with? Too busy? Yep. Too lazy? Yep. You had to go to the toilet for a long time, Fraser? You had to cook dinner, Ali? Secrets? He's always got secrets. Max, what kind of excuses do you have? Going out to play, so you had something else to do instead. We have lots of excuses, don't we? We can always dream up a good excuse. The dog ate my homework, or I wasn't feeling very well, or whatever it might be. Why is it? So we read from Isaiah today about everybody stopping war. Just stopping. Everybody deciding that we were going to live in peace, so why don't we do that? Does anybody get a good excuse? All of your soldiers need the toilet. But I guess what Isaiah's saying is that we don't maybe need soldiers at all. Because we wouldn't do war anymore. So if we didn't do war, we wouldn't need soldiers, would we? No. So why don't we? Can anybody think of any reason why not? Because everybody has to agree. Why? So we're scared. So they're getting in first, isn't there? Get your retaliation in first. That's what we do though, isn't it? But everybody else isn't going to do it. And so nobody ever starts. Nobody's first. Isaiah's issuing us a big challenge today to do that. That's a statue in the United Nations garden. It's not yellow behind it usually. It's a blue statue, and it sits in the garden of the United Nations. And it's a man beating his sword into a plough. So he's changing his weapon into something that can make things grow. And there's something really interesting about doing that, isn't there? He can't ever turn it back. Once it's a plough, it's a plough. You'd have to like take it all to bits, and it would become part of something else, wouldn't it? Once you decide to do it, you're kind of committed to it. And I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if we could actually live in peace with each other and not have any arguments and never fight. I wonder if we could. There's a challenge for you for a day. Okay, just one day, all of you. See if you can get by for one whole day without having an argument with anyone. We're going to sing a new song. You want to play it through once? It's nice and easy. It's written by Fishy Music. It's not called In the Darkness, it's called the name of the thing, isn't it? Christmas Lights. Sharing God's Christmas Light is the name of the hymn, but that doesn't appear anywhere in it, I don't think. Oh, it does, in the chorus. Right, so we'll play it through once, and we'll have a go. Thank you. Welcome to Advent, the waiting season, for the light prepares and the angels stir and the stars shift and the word begins to put on flesh. Waiting to move among us. But that's not quite what we're presented with in the readings this morning, is it? On this, the first Sunday of Advent, Matthew's Gospel presents us with something altogether more problematic and frightening. This passage about the coming of the Son of Man being like the days of Noah scares the living daylights out of us. Because we know that in the days of Noah, there was so much evil going on that God decided to start over and sent a flood, and only a very few were saved. And here is Jesus saying the same kind of thing is going to happen again. When all of a sudden, we're all just getting on with our daily lives, going about our daily business, and one will be taken and one will be left behind. And it all seems so random and arbitrary. There's a whole branch of theology about this. A whole load of books and TV shows and films have grown up around this idea that some are taken and some are left behind. We call it the rapture. During the week, I often listen to a preaching podcast from Working Preacher to help understand some of the ideas that are going around about the readings for the coming week. And this week they began to talk about Advent, how excited they were about Advent, and then they got to these texts and they thought, yeah, actually, I just prefer baby Jesus in a manger. Can we not just have that? And that's something we all do, isn't it? We'd much rather think about a wee cute baby wrapped up in some blankets, all bathed in candlelight, because this stuff about people being taken away and left behind is just too hard. But perhaps that lays bare one of the problems that we have with Advent. We think it's about something that it's not. Here's a bombshell for you. Advent isn't the countdown to Christmas. I'll say that again, just so you can all close your mouths. Advent isn't the countdown to Christmas. Even though our calendars count down the days and we're bombarded with adverts telling us how few shopping days we've got left, that's not the point of Advent. Advent is about anticipating. It is about waiting. It is about looking forward. But the thing that we are anticipating and waiting for and looking forward to is the second coming of Christ. That's why we're presented with these passages from Matthew and Isaiah about the end times. We explore the story of Christmas only to help us to understand what next time might be like. What might be the signs as Christ prepares to come again? I think it might help that we've recently spent some time in Revelation. Another book about the end times. Remember that in Revelation 21, it tells us that God's home would be among the mortals. And there would be no more pain. Crying and death would be no more because the first things would have passed away. The kingdom of heaven will be here on earth. The kingdom of heaven will be here on earth. One of the odd things about how we think about this passage, how we think about the rapture, about some people being taken and some people being left behind, is that we always assume that the good people are taken away. Why? Why do we think that? Especially given that there seems to be plenty of evidence to suggest that being left behind is the better outcome. In the times of Noah, which Jesus talks about in this passage, the people who were left behind were Noah and his family. Everyone else was drowned. In the end times described in Revelation, the establishment of God's kingdom is here, not somewhere else. It's that moment when everyone comes together in peace, just as Isaiah describes, where all the nations come together and learn the ways of peace on the mountain of the Lord. Here. here and now. And those who are taken don't get to join in. Of course, it's a metaphor, isn't it? It's an example to show us how those who reject the ways of peace and justice are cut off from the kingdom. Not because not everyone is welcome, but because of our own decisions, our own rejection of God, our own clinging to the ways of violence and destruction leave us separated from him, separate from each other. Because those ways mean taking sides and deciding that some of us are with us and some of us are against us. Separated from those we think of in some way don't deserve justice or don't deserve to live in peace. Separated from the possibilities of living in harmony, free from fear. Some of you don't like it when I talk about politics. And Avril's been ill this week, so this hasn't been edited in any way. So don't throw things. I wonder how much Advent will influence our decision at the ballot box in just a few days' time. I wonder when we go in to put our X in a box, whether anything that we talk about in this place will influence where you put that X. It seems to me that over the past few years, one of the true tests of political leadership is now your willingness to annihilate half the planet by launching a nuclear missile. It's a question that people get asked all the time, isn't it? Would you press the button? Just think about that for a minute. Think about it in the light of what we've read this morning. It seems that looking for ways to bring justice and peace between people who disagree, actually being willing to listen to both sides and to try a way, find a way forward from violence, can get you into political trouble these days. Just think about that in the light of what we've read this morning. Advent is about three things: history, mystery, and majesty. It is. The word Advent means coming. In Advent, we only look back at what has already been to help us think about what is to come, to look forward to the next time. So in history, we look back to the birth of Jesus to help us understand how that happened. It reminds us how far a baby born in poverty was from what the people expected at that time. They were expecting a Messiah, a mighty king who would restore Israel and defeat all their enemies. But their expectation of that Messiah was based on their own misreading of their own history, their own prophecies. Just like we do, they read Isaiah and Ezekiel and Micah and Hosea and all the others who told of a different kind of king who would bring a different kind of kingdom where peace and justice would prevail. But they still wanted a strong leader who would make them great again and who would defeat their enemies and build a strong economy. So Advent is about history because it's vital that we learn from our past. There's a famous quote that does the rounds that nobody's very sure who said it. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. It tells us much. And yet again and again, we completely ignore it. So how about this year we don't? How about this year we pay attention? How about we give some actual thought to what's gone on? And why it happened and what we might learn from that. And I wonder, to help us to do that, to think clearly about things, maybe we should stop reading newspapers whose primary purpose is to tell us who to hate. If that's on the front of your newspaper, put it in the bin. Advent is a thoroughly radical idea. that has absolutely nothing to do with trees and tinsel and presents and turkey, or Black Friday or Cyber Monday or any of that stuff. Advent is about anticipating a new way of living. And that means changing. Changing how we think and how we behave. As the jingle bells of Christmas start to ring, they should remind us that the sound of Advent is actually the anvil's clang, as swords are beaten into ploughshares and spears into pruning hooks. This isn't just a decommissioning of weapons. It's a transformation of the tools of war and hatred and death into tools of life and community and abundance. And it's a once and for all transformation. It's not conditional. It doesn't say put your swords in the cupboard just in case you need them again. It says we won't ever need them again. They're gone. Repurposed for good, redesigned for inclusion, upcycled for kingdom living. But of course, most of us don't have swords. Our transformation is an inner one, where we put aside our tendency to divide, to separate, to hate. Our quickness to think of violence as a solution to any disagreement. Our hurry to be right instead of just. To walk in the light of the Lord and to learn the ways of peace. So welcome. Welcome to the waiting season, where the light prepares and angels stir and stars shift and the Word begins to put on flesh to move among us. If we're quiet enough, there's a song being sung. An ancient song spoken for us. For us, a child is born. It's a song of promise, of hope, of incarnation. An incarnation that finds us here, brought to the cusp of Advent. So let's sing to the world the news that the prophet spoke of. That Christ is on the way. Amen. We join to sing. The hymn is 273, O Come Emmanuel.
Thank you.
we bring to God our offering for his work in this place. God of promise and fulfillment, you have given us hope that how things are is not how they always need to be. You've given us a vision of this world and human lives transformed for good. So we offer these gifts and ourselves in Jesus' name, who lived and died and rose again, to make that vision real. Amen. Hymn is 277, Hark the Glad Sound.
Thank you. Let us pray. Living God, in this season when we look forward to the coming of the Prince of Peace, we cannot avoid thinking about the many conflicts tearing apart the world that you love. Families and nations divided, Christians and Muslims and Jews wasting time fighting each other and among themselves when they should be loving the world in your name. God, whose peace is of a different order from any that we can imagine or create, heal the conflicts in our own hearts and lives, we pray, so that we may become the agents of your peace in the world. Loving God, we remember today those who have been bereaved in our community. May they know your special blessing. We remember also today, in particular, the victims of the terrorist attack in London. We give thanks for our hospital staff and emergency services for their unfailing professionalism and devotion to duty. In this season of listening for the world, for the word of life, the eternal word, becoming a living, breathing, vulnerable human child, we cannot help but be aware of all that is a threat to life, and not just human life, in this world that you love. Global warming, illegal hunting, deforestation, contamination of air, land and sea. God who said, "Let it be," and there was. God whose word prompted all life to begin. May we, whose life is your gift to us, not be the cause of its ending. In these days of encroaching darkness, as we wait for the light of the world to burst in upon us again, making everything clear, we have to admit that we are afraid of that light that may reveal our complicity in all that has gone wrong in our churches and in our world, our actions and our failures to act, our silence when we should have been speaking, our speaking when you needed us to listen. God, whose light shone out at the dawn of creation and which has never been extinguished, may your light shine on us and in us, through us and in spite of us, bringing hope to the world and glory to your name. Amen.
Our final hymn, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free."
Thank you.
as the light prepares and the angels stir and the stars shift, and the Word begins to put on flesh to move among us, we hear the song. We hear it being sung, that ancient song that's spoken to us. Unto us a child will be born. A song of hope and promise and incarnation. So Advent, God, on this cusp, may we be found hoping, and may such hope continue to transform us. And may you bless us and go with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this Advent season and always.